Good morning. This second Advent, I greet you with these verses taken from Luke chapter 1, 68 through 70, and verses 78 and 79. These are also on our church bulletin. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke from the mouth of his holy prophets from old. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Shall we pray? Lord God, we just thank you that we can gather here this morning for a communion service, that you would be with us wherever we are listening this morning. We give thanks that you have sent your Son Jesus to redeem his people. We thank you for that gift of salvation that he has brought to us. We thank you for your everlasting love and mercies. We thank you for this day that you've given us to hear this message and to worship you, because you are a mighty God. We pray this morning for those who are ill, for those who are concerned about the issues of this life, Lord, that you would bring them comfort. Jesus is the Lord of comfort and peace, Lord, and we thank you that he can lift us up when we're feeling depressed or when we have concerns, that we can bring them to you, Lord, and you can give us that peace. I ask you to be with all of those who are at home this morning listening to the service, and grant them your eternal peace. Be with those who are preparing for this morning for communion service. Help us to set our hearts straight. Help us to bring our concerns before you, Lord, and to settle any other outstanding concerns that we have with each other. Give us peace as we worship together this morning. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us as we worship together this morning. Today, if we were gathered together in church, you would have noticed in front of the pulpit, we would have lit the second Advent candle. As I've explained before, there are five candles altogether. The first candle represents hope. Today, we would have lit the peace candle. And the other two are love and joy. And the last candle is called the Christ candle. It is sometimes called the Bethlehem candle to remind us of the place in which preparations were made to receive and cradle the Christ child. Today, in this world, there's conflict. There's lots of it. To name a few areas of conflict, there is conflict in the government, between nations, between neighbors, between kids at school, between pro-maskers and anti-maskers, between religions, and sometimes between parents and their children. Why is there so much conflict out there? As wise and intelligent people, why can't we get along? Because we don't want to listen to our Heavenly Father and follow the Word of God. We want to do it my way. That's what it is. When we picked up the forbidden fruit in that garden, man decided to go on his own, and now people have no peace as a result. Peace is a gift that we must prepare for. God gives us the peace, the gift of peace, when we turn to him in faith. We read in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The prophet Isaiah calls Christ the Prince of Peace. Through John the Baptist and all of the other prophets, God asks us to prepare our hearts so that he may come in. A little later in this morning's service, Pastor Jeremy will celebrate the Lord's Supper. All who have been baptized upon confession of faith in Jesus as Lord are invited to prepare the elements of the wine, or grape juice, and bread or crackers at home. Let us come together in peace to celebrate our Lord's coming to earth, his sacrifice, and his promise to return. I would like to start this morning by reading from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Look, I am sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you look for so eagerly, is surely coming, says the Lord Almighty. But who will be able to endure it when he comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, or like a strong soap that whitens clothes. He will sit and judge like a refiner of silver, watching closely as he throws the dross and it's burned away. I would also like to read from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People who went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and from the whole region of Jordan, confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, We have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Suddenly, it's December. We've just finished one of the driest years on record, and we're still waiting for more snow to cover the fields and supply the moisture needed for next year's crops. Soon we're going to be into the holidays, and shortly after, we should be getting our COVID inoculations, if everything goes well by government estimates. But now suddenly we're celebrating Second Advent, and Christmas is on the way. Right about now, some of us are wondering, whatever happened to November? November? What do you mean Christmas is only 3 weeks away? Even with the 4 weeks of Advent, Christmas has a knack for coming upon us suddenly, doesn't it? Suddenly. That's how seasons of expectation come upon us. Yet I wonder if Christmas could ever come upon us in any other way than suddenly. For how could we ever describe the appearance of Jesus Christ's kingdom into our normal world other than suddenly? One moment things are crazy with code reds and daily government status reports, jobs are being created and liquidated, schools and businesses are turned topsy-turvy, money is being made and lost. I'm told the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. The whole world is just humming along from crisis to crisis, and then over and against and above all that, God's word suddenly comes. It's Christmas. And this celebration suddenly overcomes all the concerns of the world as we know it, or think we know it. It is God's plan of action that Luke has in mind when he presents us with a long historical introduction in Luke chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, whom Pontius Pilate was governor, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Licinius, Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Luke is careful to place us precisely in history. The world of the early first century was, for its inhabitants, life as usual. Things were just as they should be. The rulers were on their thrones, the priests were in their temples, and the people were about their business. The Romans were in charge. Then in the midst of this routine comes the word of God. An angel appears, or a holy child is born in a manger, or a hairy prophet emerges from the wilderness. And seemingly suddenly, things are happening in God's world. Of course, things are always progressing in God's world. God, the everlasting, is always faithful to his promises, always looking over his creation and directing it to its conclusion. He is always at work, making sure that all things are indeed working for the good of those who believe in him and are called to his purpose. But we are not so watchful. Just like we need an alarm clock to wake us from a cold winter's night, so we need Advent to awaken us to God's will of action all around us. The message of Advent is that the concerns of this world have distracted us long enough. God is speaking to us even now. But let me make this clear. Sudden does not mean unexpected. On the contrary, though John's voice cried out suddenly, it had been long expected. The entire prophetic message of the Old Testament is focused on the coming of God's Anointed One and the messenger that will prepare his way. For some prophets like Isaiah, the Savior's coming was a day of comfort and joy. It was a day when Israel's enemies, like Babylon, would be thwarted and the chosen nation would be vindicated and reestablished in the land God had given to them. It would be a time of forgiveness and plenty. Isaiah says in chapter 40, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." The Messiah will save his people. I would also like to read from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. "Look, I am sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you look for so eagerly, is surely coming, says the Lord Almighty. But who will be able to endure it when he comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, or like a strong soap that whitens clothes. He will sit and judge like a refiner of silver, watching closely as the dross is burned away." The prophet Malachi reminds us that there is another dimension to this day of the Lord. Rather than inspiring peace and goodwill, it inspires awe and even apprehension. For though the messenger comes, his message is one of judgment. And so determined is that judgment that is doubtful that many will survive it. "The Lord of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. The Messiah will judge and purify his people." This future advent, then, also has an awful nature. It is joyful and fearsome. Luke does a nice job of weaving these two strands together. That John the Baptist is specifically fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy readies us for the good news that Jesus will bring. But he has sandwiched that quote from Isaiah between John's own words. In verse 3, John is described as preaching a baptism of repentance. And immediately after our passage, in verses 7 through 9, John rails on the crowd who come to him. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? The axe is indeed already laid at the foot of the tree." So what are we preparing for as we listen to this prophet? Good news or bad news? Advent is a time of preparation. The voice of the prophets is calling to us. Christ is coming. Whether their word is good news or bad news will depend on how we respond. When we look back to the Bethlehem manger, we are given a promise, for in its crib we see the Christ child, proof that God really does so love the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that any who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. We are right to sing out during this season, joy to the world. The Lord has come as Savior and has brought forgiveness of sins for all who will believe and repent. But we also look forward these days to the future, second advent, the coming of the Lord as judge. And this coming will not be gentle like the first. Jesus himself warns of it in Luke chapter 21. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to stand before the Son of Man. The refiner's fire will suddenly be lit. It will leap into our world as surely as John appeared from out of the desert. The only doubt is whether we will respond to the message. Now is the season to believe. Now is the season of peace. Now is the time to reflect and set our lives in order. So today, as we take communion, let us think of our standing before the Lord our God. Advent is a time to think on the meaning and purpose of life and death, a time to take stock of our condition and seek out the salvation of God. Jesus' birth in Bethlehem has given us all notice, given us all promise. Things are happening in God's world. What will it mean for you this Advent to prepare the way of the Lord? What valleys in your life need to be filled up? What mountains and hills need to be leveled? What is tangled and crooked in your life and needs to be made straight? The world is in turmoil, but we can have the peace of Christ dwell in our hearts. I pray that each of you listening today would take time during this Advent to reach out to the child of God, Jesus Christ, that we may have a closer relationship with him that our souls desire, especially during these turbulent times, and that our way of living and our goals of achievement might also follow God's, Christ's, and Christ's desires. Amen.